It's time for Making Democracy Work, a weekly program produced in cooperation with the League of Women Voters of Southwest Missouri. Your host today is Debbie Good.
Our guest today is Dr. Kathy Pulley, Professor of Religious Studies at Missouri State University. Dr. Pulley teaches a course called God and Politics, which is what we will be talking about today. Dr. Pulley, the Constitution forbids any religious test as a qualification for holding office. How much freedom to discuss their religious views do candidates for public office have?
In reality, they have quite a lot of freedom to discuss their religious views. I think it comes down to how much do they want to develop a diverse constituency, or how much do they want to alienate certain folks. So if you want to go after all the potential voters, then a lot of times candidates are reluctant to speak very personally about religion. Mm-hmm. But I could say that to add to that, there are some interesting cases, and John Kennedy was one of those where a lot of Protestants in the United States did not want him to be president, and part of the reason for that was because he was Catholic, and they feared that the Catholic Church would somehow be involved in determining policies of the United States. And the Kennedy's response to that was initially to say nothing, but then he made this great speech in Houston in the fall of 1960. And one of the things he said was that basically he would not speak on matters of the church as president of the United States, and he would not allow the church to speak on matters that pertain to the United States in that way. So basically he set the agenda that was followed by Mitt Romney when he was questioned a few years ago when he was the candidate. The person who didn't follow that format so well was Jimmy Carter, who proclaimed early on that he was an evangelical, born-again Christian. That helped him in 1976, but the evangelical vote did not help him, and in fact they tended to vote with Ronald Reagan in 1980. So all three of those cases point to it's a mixed bag when you start talking about religion.
Now, I've heard of some candidates who promise not to appoint Muslims or Mormons or atheists to their cabinets if elected. Can they do that?
They really can't do that. That's in violation of EEOC policies, and it discriminates in the workplace. So if they were found to be doing that, then they could be certainly investigated and then fined if found to be guilty. Not a good practice.
And then Southwest Missouri has a lot of churches, and their members and staff all have political views. How far can a church leader go in advocating for a political candidate, especially if they're speaking from the pulpit? Are there lines they can't cross?
Traditionally, there have been lines. And just to give you a little bit of the background on that, there was a Johnson Amendment in 1954 that basically said a pastor or a clergy person couldn't speak in her or his capacity as a clergy person for specific candidates, but they could speak about social issues. So a given religious group could talk about abortion if they wanted to. They could advocate or oppose. They could talk about same-sex marriage as they wished, but the minute they started to endorse or oppose a given candidate, then that's typically been the line that's been drawn. Now, a couple of interesting things about that. One is that the IRS has not enforced this ruling too much. The ruling is intended for all tax-exempt organizations, which churches fall under. So they haven't been very eager to enforce. That's probably okay, because most churches, again, or most religious groups do not want to just bring in one party or another. They want members from both parties. Mm-hmm. But the other thing that's happened more recently is some challenges by the Republican Party in the last year or two to this ruling. And they've been interested in trying to say, maybe we don't have to go by this Johnson Amendment.
And then finally, last question, because I've been asked this before, why is it okay to have polling places in churches?
They're convenient. They have parking lots. They usually have space that is common space, like a gym or a meeting hall. And the government thinks that that's a better option than trying to locate polling places outside of neighborhoods.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Pulley. I'm Debbie Good, and this has been a program of the League of Women Voters of Southwest Missouri. Our guest has been Dr. Kathy Pulley, Professor of Religious Studies at Missouri State University. This program and others in the Making Democracy Work series are available on the web at ksmu.org.